1 Kings 18, verse 17. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets thereof unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people, and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him, Not a word. Now tonight my subject is victory over Baal. And don't think that Baal was simply an Old Testament God. This God is very much alive today. We understand from Scripture that he's just an incarnation, another version of Satan. And all the gods, I mean, I could mention lots of different gods of different religions tonight, but you can find the same gods in the Old Testament. None of them have gone away. They're all here today. And it's the Apostle Paul who tells us that those who worship false gods are actually worshipping demons. So what we understand from that is that those who worship wherever religion it is, they're not following a way to heaven, they're actually following a way to hell, because the king of hell, which is Satan, is drawing them in that direction. And the God that they worship is not the God of the Bible, but Satan himself. Now, King Ahab and the prophet Elijah had different world views. They saw things differently. Their view of religion and how religion worked, their view of God, was different. For Ahab, he was a ruthless monarch. He was a monarch who got his own way by any means possible. If you read the story of Ahab and Jezebel, we know that they're very quick to take what they want and use very evil means to do that. But Ahab was a religious man, and so he set up interfaith communion between the prophets of Baal and the prophets of God. So when the people of Israel worshipped the prophet, they worshipped Baal, they were also worshipping God at the same time. And in the process, they got the two confused, so that they didn't fully understand which was which. They'd lost sight of the law of God. They lost sight of the commandments. You've forsaken the commandments of the Lord, said Elijah to Ahab. So the truth of God faded into the mist, while the prophets of Baal taught what they wanted. For Elijah, there was only one true God, and that was Jehovah. He wouldn't stand for interfaith dialogue. And things haven't changed much since then. We've got our own national leaders and religious leaders, of course, who toe the line. They tell us that we want to unify all religions. Make one religion, or make it as though, well, all religions lead to God. We're only worshipping the same God, but we call him different names, and he's viewed in different ways, and we have different holy books. Well, you know, as I keep saying to you, there is a book written about the King James Bible, and it's called Things That Are Different and Not the Same. And if they are different, then they're not the same. And if people are following a Hindu god, a monkey or an elephant or whatever else it might be, then it can't be the God of the Bible. If people are following Allah, they can't be following the God of the Bible. If they're following the Virgin Mary, they're not following the God of the Bible. So whichever way we look at it, there's only one true God, and that's the God of Scripture. So it doesn't matter what the national leaders, religious or secular, might say, trying to bring religion into a single entity. It cannot be done. And when the Antichrist comes along and sets up a one world religion, even he will have trouble with that, because it simply does not work. And the reason it doesn't work is because you try to put God in the midst of idolatry, of evil, of wickedness, worshipping him in the presence of other gods, then God will make a difference. God will show himself to be the true God. So the world was taken up. Do you notice what the scripture says there? Elijah said to the prophet, said to King Ahab, go and call the prophets of Baal. And he lists them 450 and 400 of other prophets of who worship other gods. And Elijah called unto all the children of Israel. So that means that the children of Israel had given themselves over to idolatry. So when he called them, they thought they were coming to an idolatrous worship ceremony. But there was one man who stood his ground, and that was Elijah. Now we know there were others. Elijah thought he was on his own, but he soon realized through God that there were other people too that opposed the abomination of trying to bring all religions together into one. Let's look at the religion for a moment. I keep getting mixed up with these terms, but Ahab, along with his evil queen Jezebel, had no regard for the God of the Bible. And we have to take that into account today when we hear the broadcasts of the religious leaders of our nation and other nations. You know, I'm talking about now the so-called Christians, the bishops and the archbishops and all the rest of them. They never say anything positive about Scripture, about Jesus Christ. And if they do something for Jesus Christ, it's always done in a theatrical way that has nothing to do with Scripture, and it brings disgrace to the things of God. And they have no regard for God. Get them in the community with an imam or some other religious leaders, and they're over the moon. They think it's a wonderful thing. Get them in the presence of born-again, Bible-believing Christians, and they would think that is disastrous. Oh, we can't go along with those type of people. They're bigots. They're narrow-minded, and the rest of it. Instead, Ahab elevated the pagan god Baal. He elevated him to a position where God and Baal were meant to become one god, as it were. It soon became that Baal was the god and not Jehovah. According to Ahab and Jezebel, the prophets of Baal could do no wrong. They were wonderful. But these men were evil. They were full of bloodletting, murder, and wickedness. And isn't it the same today? Do I have to mention the religion? And our nation, our leaders of the nation think, oh, that religion is wonderful. A religion of peace. And they kicked out the religion of peace. The one who is the Prince of Peace. They don't want him. But they'll follow the religion, so-called, of peace, that almost all the conflicts around the world today is due to one religion. Not Judaism, not Christianity, not even Buddhism or any of the others. One religion is causing all the trouble, and we know who that is. It's the same old prophets of Baal from the past. So they could do no wrong. As I said, even though they were known for their gross practices. For many years, ever since I've been going to Ireland, I'd seen places called, with the word in front of them, Bally or Ball. And I remember thinking back then, you know, years ago, I wonder if that's got anything to do with Baal. And it's known that what I found out over the last couple of days of an old book I've been reading from the 18th century, that the Celtic people were known for worshipping Baal. They were sun worshippers. And so wherever in Ireland you find the word like Ballygowan or Ballymena or Bally whatever it is, or Baltinglass, there was originally a worship centre to Baal there. But don't think it's just Southern Ireland. It's Northern Ireland too. It's Scotland. Look in your atlas and you find Baal or whatever there. England, But I can't find any for Wales for some reason. I don't understand that part. But in England, we have the same thing. And what is amazing about this is that, again, in this book, it's called The Manuscript Man. It's about a man in Ireland who was persecuted in the 18th century for giving out Bibles, telling people about, and he's beaten up for simply talking about scripture, and the Catholic Church didn't want that. And what this person pointed out in this book is that they're no different. The people at that time, the Catholic Church, the people who were following the Catholic religion, were no different from the people of Baal, the prophets of Baal, and the followers of Baal in Israel. And what they say is that they were blood letters. And he described over there, there was a place in a certain town where they had to crawl around on their knees around a stone until their knees bled. And then they said God would hear them. And you know it's true, don't you? You found it in different places where you'd have to walk up a mountain in your bare feet so that you could get the pain, the agony, and the blood would flow. Doesn't that sound like Baalism to you? It doesn't come from the Bible, does it? Where do we find anything like that in Scripture? Where does it tell us that we have to cut our bodies to serve our God? We don't find it, do we? And if you think it's only that, you know, it's not only the world, but Christians who are eager to pierce the skin and get tattoos on them. And the Bible says, don't print anything on your skin. Don't pierce your skin. It's an abomination to God. And people who do that, Christians who do that, will have to stand before the living God one day and answer for that wickedness. Because it's not serving God, it's serving the devil. And that is a very sad thing. So it's here. I mean, I can describe this in different ways tonight, but that's not my message, describing how Baal exists today. I want to look at what was going on back then. Human sacrifice and bloodletting was obviously not beneath them as they sought to worship their God. That's the only way their God could be appeased. Of course, we could talk about Islam on that because it's exactly the same situation. But they were appeasing a false deity. But Baalism was not just a religion. It had its great influence in politics, had a great influence in politics and in society. And when a religion becomes a political entity, when everything revolves around religion, then there is a problem for society. Now you might think, well, Israel were... Their religion was, you know, there's politics within their religion too. Of course there was. But they were a theocracy, and they were doing it in accordance with the word of God. Not only theocracy, there was obviously democracy there as well. But within the Baalism, there was no such thing. It was imposed upon you. It was imposed upon you what religion you want to serve. And in true Christian societies, Christians don't impose upon other people what they should believe. They don't force people into their faith. We give them the grace to do what they want, but we preach to them the gospel to show them the truth. It's up to them then to either accept or reject. We don't do it at the edge of a sword or with the barrel of a gun. But that's the way it's been done in false religion in the past. They use political means to get their way. It appears as you read scripture and history that Jezebel almost single-handedly introduced Baal into Israel. And for whatever reason, the people of Israel were captivated by Baal. They thought it was wonderful. It's no different, I suppose, with people who they are invited to a Catholic church and they see the pomp and the ceremony and they're delighted by it. And somehow they feel the presence of God in it. But God is not in it at all. The true God and all of his laws were a burden to the people of Israel. And that is an interesting thought, because you'll find that in Scripture. It was a burden to them. It was too hard to follow God. And yet God had made it so easy for them. He told them exactly what he didn't like. He told them what he did like. And all they had to do was follow it. I know it's a bit more intricate than that, But even so, it was easy. He didn't ask for their own blood. He could have done that, couldn't he? But now he decided to ask for the blood of animals. He'd made it easy for them. And it became much easier, I suppose, if I can say it like that. In the New Testament, it's simple. All we have to do is believe. But you see, it becomes a burden to people. And it's not, we'll come to this in a moment, but it's not the burden of the letter of the word as it stands. There's something else working in the background with this. See, under Baal, Baal could be anything they wanted. He could be everything they wanted. Basically, this new religion, Baalism, freed them from all the holy standards of God's word and gave them the liberty to indulge in whatever sin they wanted. There was no condemnation there because there was nobody to tell them it was wrong. Get rid of those who tell you it's wrong to do such and such things. Then there's no conviction, so they think. We see there was a conviction because they still felt that they needed to get in touch with this deity. And so they cut themselves and sliced themselves and ranted and raved to get in contact with this so-called God. So their God, Baal, didn't condemn anybody to hell. Except the prophets of God, of course. And isn't that always true? We live in a tolerant society, don't we? Which is intolerance of Christianity. They talk about being tolerant, but they don't want the word of God. They'll have interfaith dialogue, but mention the Bible and you get kicked out of that dialogue. They're not tolerant at all. What Ahab and Jezebel realized was that to avoid any problems, they needed to bring the two religions together and make them into a single entity. So they started, for want of a better term, an ecumenical movement. And they thought that was the way to solve the issues, because obviously there must have been issues. There must have been, as Elijah was there, there were other prophets, as we know, who stood up and said, but this is not the way. You're evil. You've come away from serving the true God. You've thrown away the word of God. You're following idols and things that God hates. So in the desire to bring religion under a single figurehead, no doubt under the queen, I think the Jezebel would have been the leader of this religion, a super religion that only had one God. It didn't matter what you did. It doesn't matter what you called him, this God, as long as Baal's prophets were in charge. And that was the problem. Because you know what it is when you, have you ever, well, I know you must have, those of you who cook, I'm sure you all cook at one time or another, you boil potatoes and the scum comes to the top, doesn't it? And, you know, you take off the scum, and it happens in everything you boil. Things come to the top, the impurities or whatever comes to the top. Well, that's the way it is with religion. Doesn't matter how much you try to put Jesus Christ in there, involving Jesus, involving the Bible, in false religion, the scum will come to the surface, and it's the scum that people see. And it's the scum they take as though it's being the glory of God, this is the way forward. But if you resisted, as in Elijah's day, if you resisted the new religion, then you'd be punished by death. You would die. And so Ahab wanted Elijah dead. I'm sure the other prophets were put to death. We know the other prophets of God, some of them were put to death too. The sad fact is, though, that the people of Israel had bought into the lie. They come to believe that Baal was God. They could worship Baal and God, Jehovah, at the same time. They saw no inconsistency in that. And you know the reason for that, don't you? Because I go back to the statement, you are forsaken the commandments of the Lord. Get rid of the Bible out of society and people don't know what to believe anymore. And so when they're taught something, if the priest or the vicar or whoever else might come along and say, oh, we're going to have an interfaith meal or whatever it is with some other religion, the people in the church think it's a wonderful thing. They don't know the difference because they're not taught the word of God. Our own national and religious leaders have deceived our nation too with exactly the same lie. And in throwing out the God of the Bible, you know what has happened? They've thrown out religion completely. They're not interested in religion anymore. We're in the world, we are one of the most godless nations on the planet. We're one of the most godless nations on the planet. You know, it's only places like Australia that would follow after us. I mean, if you think, well, surely Russia, with its communism of the past, surely that still has its... You know what, I think they're more religious than we are. I'm using religion wisely though. I'm not saying, you know, there's lots of different types of religion over there. But whereas, what are people interested in today? Talk to them about the Bible and they think you're a mental case. In fact, talk to them about religion and they think you've come from another planet. And people have bought into the same lie, as it were. They bought into the lie of the past, in the past. Our religious leaders said, let's join all the religions together. It was tried and people were confused. And so at the expense of trying to unite religion, true Bible believers have been kicked out. And those who stand for the truth are considered to be bigots and haters. Christians are seen as those or something that ought to be eradicated from society. And isn't that a sad situation that our nation is in today? We stand like this when we were a very prominent nation that most of the world came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. The standards of those nations were based upon what we believed in our nation. God used us in a great and mighty way. People wanted to flock to this nation, wanted to come to this nation because they saw something different. They saw a righteousness here, but not so today. And why is that? Why is Christianity, the Bible, why is Jesus Christ, I should say, better, been forced out of society? Why is it no longer acceptable to be a Christian? Simply because man's conscience is offended by the truth. Listen to this. You know this text, but let me read it to you. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. John 3:19-20. There's one word used twice there, and if you read it correctly, you see exactly what Jesus is saying. Listen, now, go over it again. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. So they were practicing evil. And everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, because neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. So they don't want their evil deeds reproved. So the deeds are evil, but they don't want those deeds reproved. So get rid of Bible-believing Christianity out of the world, out of the nation. And that's where we are today. The reason the homosexuals don't want us here is because they know that we stand against what they do, their deeds, not them. It's never them. It's never the people themselves. Because, I mean, we were like them in the past. We committed sin. But we stand against their deeds. And if you allow their deeds to go on, if you say their deeds are okay, which some of the church is doing today, then they feel eased. They like those type of Christians. They like those people who've watered down the gospel. Those who don't know the scripture in the first place. They like those. So Elijah comes on the scene. When the people come together before Elijah, the prophets of Baal and all Israel, Elijah said, basically, there's not a single God, but there is a single choice you've got to make. You've got to make a choice. And he presented this choice to Ahab and the children of Israel. There is a single choice. You've got to make the choice. Of course, there's two choices. Serve God or serve Baal. Whichever one is God, serve him with all of your heart. It was their responsibility to make a decision between serving Jehovah or serving Baal. So those Jews who thought they could do both at the same time were put on the spot. Which one is God? Come on now, you make a decision. Which one is God, Jehovah or Baal? So Elijah was saying to him, you can't sit on the fence here. In Elijah's mind, there's no place for duality. There's no place to have two or three or four gods. So in Elijah's theology, there's no religious unity. You can't have two gods working together. He forced them to see that a decision had to be made that day. He said to them, how long do you hold between two opinions? If the Lord be God, and so on, serve him. If Elijah be, if Baal be God, serve him. It was to be done that day. Not tomorrow. They couldn't put it off till tomorrow. They had to do it right there and then. Tomorrow would be too late. If they believed Baal was God, then they must serve him with all their hearts. If they believed Jehovah was God, then they must forsake everything and follow Jehovah. And this is the sad fact of this story. They heard what Elijah said. He said, make a decision today. If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. They refused to make their minds up. They refused to make a choice. Maybe out of fear, maybe, because Ahab was there with all his soldiers, possibly. But whichever way, they refused to make a stand. And I wonder if that's the same for Christians today. They refuse to make the stand because they would be ridiculed, persecuted, and ostracized. They answered Elijah not a word. How sad is that? How sad it is for born-again believers to be united with pseudo-Christianity and false religion. That's an abomination. It's not just sad. It's an abomination. So, as we know, people believe all roads lead to heaven. And anyway, doesn't matter what it is. I mean, God's a good God. He wouldn't throw anyone to hell. No one's going to go to hell. God doesn't work like that. But in doing so, they've ditched the teachings of Scripture. So I want to say this, the Christians who engage in interfaith dialogue, who join in worship with other religions, have cast out the God of the Bible. I don't care if they say they love him. They do not love him if they've done that. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? You notice in your Bible that if you read that text, that the word Belial is in the beginning with a capital letter, meaning Satan. But it's also in reference to Baal. Belial is... people who were sons of Belial were worthless people. But that's exactly what the name Baal means. He's a worthless god. You know, what concord is Christ with Belial? Or what part is he that believeth with an infidel? So we don't go with idolatry and false religion. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate. That's exactly what was happening with Elijah. Be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. It's only then God receives his people. He doesn't accept those who do the opposite. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. All roads lead in one direction, but only one road leads to heaven, and that's through the God of the Bible, through Jesus Christ. All other roads lead to damnation. The end result of following false religion, or falsehood, was exactly as it was in Elijah's day. Those who sold out to false religion were guilty. Those who sell out to false religion in our day are guilty of stripping the church of its power and its strength. Do you think there's, when you look at an ornate Church of England Church or Catholic Church or whichever it is, that there's no Baalism there. Well, you know, ask yourself this question. Why is there a steeple in that church? A steeple represents what I'm not going to talk about tonight. It represents something that's obscene. Got nothing for the glory of God. It's an obscene structure. And in the steeple, there's a bell. And you know what the word where the bell comes from, don't you? The word bell comes from Baal. I'm not making that up. It's actually true. The bell was used to call worshippers to Baal. And the bell is used to call worshippers to God. We don't need bells to call us to God. We don't need steeples or anything like that. And there are many other things that I could talk about. The garments that they wear, you know, the fish head mitres that are on the heads. All this has got to do with Baal, not to do with the gospel. Where do we find any of that in the Bible? Where do we find that? You know, Christianity is the only religion that they can set up as, an organization with all its vestments, with all its rituals. There's no rituals. There's no ceremonies. Read the book of Acts. There are no ceremonies whatsoever. But in the 3rd century, ceremonies started to come in. Baalism was brought back in. And you know who by? Constantine. Who wanted to do what? Unite Christianity with false religion. He wanted to worship his sun god. Who's the sun god? Baal. He wanted the two of them to work together. He wanted to practice his idolatry, his paganism, but he wanted Christianity too. He wanted to unite all religion. And that's the reason we have the established churches today, the Catholic Church especially, but then after that, the Church of England and others beside who have come under. You know, in the book of Revelation, it talks about the great whore's daughters who are drunk, and I think they're coming back under her skirts. They're coming back to mother, the mother of, what's she called? Harlots. The mother of harlots. They're all harlots. And there's some churches that started out right. They did start out right. The Methodist Church, some of the Baptist churches, but they become ecumenical. Sadly, the Salvation Army, what a disgrace that is. Even the name tells you that it should be a people who stand for the gospel of Christ, and yet they've bought into it as well. They've become part of the great harlot too. I get knocked for saying that in some places, but it's true. They've come under the gowns of the great harlot once again. But nevertheless, we can't blame our leaders for this. We can't blame the religious leaders because they knew nothing in the first place about God. We can't blame the national leaders because they just want to make everything peaceful for themselves. It's the blame rests solely upon the Church of God for not making a decision to follow God. Just simply follow God. Only after a demonstration of the mighty power of God did the people cry out to Elijah, "The Lord, He is God, the Lord, He is God." If you remember the story, don't you? When the prophets of Baal ranted and raved and cut themselves so the fire would fall from heaven to burn up their sacrifice, and they ranted and raved all day and it didn't happen. But Elijah just spoke the word. He just said a simple prayer to God. Of course, there was a sacrifice of animals, and all the water poured over the sacrifice, as we know, but the fire fell from heaven. And all the prophets of Baal were destroyed. Oh, were they? Yes, of course they were. But there were others. It was decades later under Jehu. And Jehu, it tells us in 2 Kings, maybe chapter 20, I'm not sure now, it tells us that Jehu removed Baal from Israel, from the house of Ahab. Then all those who worshipped Baal, what Jehu did, he said, "If Ahab worshipped God, then I'm going to worship Baal even more." He was kidding them. He said, "All the prophets of Baal, I want to make a difference between the prophets of Baal and the prophets of God, the prophets of Jehovah. All the prophets of Baal, you're safe if you come out in your vestments, in your holy garb. If you come out and show yourselves, then you'll be safe." And of course, as soon as they did that, all who followed them were put to death. And Jehu put all of this into the past. Though it did come back again, and it came back again, and again. We come to the New Testament, it doesn't exist. But we come to modern day society, and it does exist all over again. There was a great revival that day under Elijah. The people turned back to God, the true God. When the power and the authority were seen, when all the power and the authority are in our hands, Jesus has already given it to us. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. It still applies to us today. The power, no different from the power of Elijah. Not calling fire down from heaven, but demanding that people live by the word of God, especially the people of God. If Jesus is Lord, then we need to follow him. The victory over Baal is already ours. We don't have to fight that fight. It's already ours because the power and the authority have been given to us.